Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Baby, we're good to go. Welcome along to the Macam Football Show. This is going to be the new schedule going forward. I forgot to ask you guys to make sure you're prepared for a fun fact. Hope you have one off the cuff, because that would be good to go. To be fair, fun facts could be made up on the spot and we can fact check them after. So you can make up a bullshit one if you want. I would never know. All right, welcome. We are game week 15. And the main topic of discussion today is the Coventry collapse. I guess the 2-2 draw against Coventry at the Stadium of Light just before the international break. And yeah, what we're going to do against Millwall to remedy it with all of the changes. So let's have fun. Fun fact from me. I don't know if it's that fun really, but it is Sunderland related. So Sunderland have had their best championship start since the last time they were promoted from the championship with 31 points in 15 games. We have only six other teams ahead of us in the history books who've had more points at this stage. So, yeah, signs are pointing to positive, but that's just 25% of the way through the season. Got a lot to go.
A load of time to play.
That's it. So, Davey, what's your fun fact?
I feel like I'm gonna go down this route, right? You know, when you ask for a fun fact,
yes,
I'm gonna try and find a fact of the team that we're gonna play or have just played, because I don't think I did one for Coventry. So,
okay.
So Coventry FC was formed as Singers FC, Singers, because following a meeting of the Singer Gentlemen's Club in Coventry. That's what they originally called, Singers FC, and then they adopted Coventry once they actually joined the Football League.
There you go. That's actually quite interesting. But also, it doesn't surprise me one bit.
I'm going to go with a fact about... There's only so many Sunderland facts you can do. Now...
To be fair, on that theme with the original name, obviously Sunderland were originally set up as the Teachers Association, weren't they? And was it in Ryab? So both reformed when we joined the league.
And the grounds on Newcastle Road.
Used to live around the corner, and I think you did as well, didn't you?
Just
opposite the Baths. What is the Baths now? Is it just...
Well, I think it was where the fucking hospital was, or is still.
Is the hospital still there?
Yeah, it is, but...
It's about to be knocked down, like. The Baths have been knocked down a long time ago. It's a housing estate now, like.
That sounds about right.
Houses on.
There was always a turd in the bottom of the pool.
Oh, why are we there? What are we doing?
It wasn't me.
I mean, it was always when you're there, and there's always a turd, cause and effect, mate.
It was just there full time.
Maybe it was one of those pretend ones you get from the magic shop. It was just like to prevent people getting in the pool. What's your fun fact, Al?
Okay, only because I watched this bloke on YouTube today. He was just talking about the redevelopment of Sunderland, because if you notice, the city centre's gone under, well, a bit of a transformation.
Yes.
New City Hall, bridge going over towards the stadium. And Dennis Chewett, who played for Sunderland.
When?
In 1973, I mean the biscuit at the same time. In the 1973 Cup Final.
Yeah.
The season after, he was born in Newcastle, played for Sunderland, won the FA Cup, and then went to play for Man City. Then he played, I think he played against Newcastle in the Cup for Man City and scored over a kick to win the FA Cup. So, that's a fun fact about him, but he was on YouTube and he was just talking about the redevelopment and like how we're trying to sort of, not emulate, but we're trying to build around the stadium, like I think like City of Dawn, and he was talking about the MetLife, which is obviously the giant stadium, and about how they redeveloped everything to be around that. I think City Council want to go the same way. The City Centre looks a lot better than it did. You know what I mean? But it's a bit late in my opinion. Like, we're sort of like behind the drag curve a bit.
Yeah, still should have gentrified a long time ago. Like,
yeah.
But,
yeah.
Yeah, I haven't got on board with us. There's a big, you know, Sunderland. One of the biggest things about it is the football club and the stadium. So why not use our assets? You know, the asset is.
Well, they've already started, haven't they, with the bridge, the Sheep Walls redevelopment. The city centre sort of written a clause into the ground, if you like. So maybe, I mean, if we do well, you know, there's nothing stopping the city to benefit from the club.
I mean, yeah.
As it should.
I mean, with the city itself, it does take a long time for any kind of big project to get done. Like, the amount of talk that was done about the pointy bridge, is it called the Spire? Something like that. It's just... I know with the footbridge connecting to the town centre, that makes so much sense, because is it called the Elizabeth, the green one, the one we were climbing when we were drunk as
Queen Alex.
Yeah, Queen Alex, that's it. That bridge has been the only connector from pretty much Roker to the town centre for years, so it makes sense to have a footbridge just to get people off it. Maybe that'll...
There is access in it as well. In the pub in the town,
mm-hmm.
they just walk over the bridge, now you're at the stadium. Do you know what I mean? Rather than having to go all the way around. So.
Well, it,
I feel like the Metro needs a bit more development as well. Not that, I don't know if that could happen, but I think the routes are, you know what I mean, not as extensive as they are.
I think the Metro should go to Doxford Park. I think they should go to Doxford Park, because it just stops at South Hilton. And it's a bit weird. Or North Hilton, sorry. If you want more people to get to the stadium, get into town and stuff like that, you do need to connect more with the estates into it. So,
City... the Metro plans have been approved. Like, there's going to be a green line and a yellow line. There's going to be a red line as well, and that's going to go like past where South Hilton is and up towards Doxy Park and all that kind of area. So
there you go.
Someone signed off, is it?
It's been approved, yeah, but when it actually gets done, who knows? And also it was approved by the previous government, like,
If it's the same fucking people that were contracted to do the road next to B&Q, probably the next 20 years.
I mean, nothing gets done quickly there.
Now it's quick in Sunderland, mate.
But at least there is some kind of conscientious thought behind it, and let's face it, if Sunderland City Council would like to sponsor the podcast, we'll be open to that discussion.
they'll probably tax the podcast. They're not sponsoring the podcast.
Is somebody having fun?
Gen 2.
Is somebody making slight YouTube gains off the city of Sunderland? Right, we'll have that.
Yeah. Thank you. Sorry. Have it. Is it still Gen 2? Gen 2 developments or something.
Balfour, no,
I don't think it was. No, God, no, Gen 2.
Balfour beat you doing that road next to B&Q forever.
Tell you another road that's always being done is the one that goes past the Metro Centre.
Is that, off the Metro now.
Yeah,
right, but that's our Luke works in Teen Valley.
Right. Teen Valley, yeah.
And he, that road, but it says on the signs, because I had to pick him up because his car's broke, 2025, it's going to be finished, summer.
Alan, I used to work in Ponteland when Amelia was four-year-old, right? Mm-hmm. And they were doing the road then. So
they've been doing the road.
It's been 9 years.
I've moved away.
Still doing the road. Year,
and they're still doing the road.
Have they got to wait for the perfect weather, David? I don't know. It's, whatever.
The highway. Who knows what the highway is? Yeah,
just get, I don't know. Get.
And they work when they want.
Yeah, well, to be fair, as long as it's not down by the Angel of the North, because that is a nightmare. That, again...
That's the road.
Yeah.
What about that road,
is that the part of the road? That's the part of the road. That is, that yeah. Is
the, well, that, yeah, that is the... It guns all the way to fucking Biker Bridge, but...
I remember 2 solid months where it was open, but I've been driving since 2009, and it's always had roadworks there. Always.
To be fair, that's Gateshead, not Newcastle. You know
what I mean?
So,
yeah, well, it's on the fringe of Washington as well, so maybe that. Well, the stadium is full now. How big will it be? So, are you Dale's asking about the development on the stadium? I don't think we need it yet. Do you think we need to? Do we need to? I think we are still a good capacity, a good size stadium for what we need. Maybe a little bit more refurb. Rather than a rebuild from KLD and company, but
I think we've got the right amount. I mean, we're just filling it now. You know what I mean? And God forbid we have another slump. But you know, we don't want to fucking. You know, I just think little steps with the club. I think we've gone in the right direction. I don't think there's any need to, you know, sort of.
Get ahead of ourselves.
Think beyond that, yeah.
The only development I think we could do in the stadium to increase capacity without like building on it is safe standing. Safe standing for me would be.
It's already done.
Yeah. Is it? Are people actually?
Safe standing in the south stand, haven't they?
Yeah, it's in there now.
Does that increase capacity then, or is it?
No, it's the.
It should, in theory.
I think the barrier where the barriers and seats are there. I don't think they've took the seats out. In fact, I'm positive they haven't took the seats out unless.
So there's not safe standing then.
I'd say opposite, so that you can see where the barriers are put in crazy corner, or next crazy corner. You know, they're putting the rope around, if you like. It's That's bringing the new PA systems in. I think, I don't know if they did anything with the grass. I can't remember what you said.
Well, they did for 5G grass or something. First one in the championship.
Yeah.
Something
like grass.
It's grass, mate. As long as it grows week to week and we're not playing in a swamp like we did in League One, we're all right. Should we talk about Coventry? Should we talk about the performance? Yeah, to be fair, mate, the two Sunderland goals were unreal. Like, what the fuck? I don't know if you... Can you remember them? I remember
Sergeant's goal.
So
Isidore's goal as well. I mean, them both, quite clearly. I mean...
His goal, that... Just the precision and, like, on the volley to curl it in at the top post, that you'll not see very often. You might see a rocket, like Serkan's, from other people around the pitch. Well, Bellingham did one a couple of games ago as well, just an absolute rocket. Quality goal, but I think Isidore's goal needs to be called out a little bit more for just...
Technical ability, wasn't it? Great technical ability. Good cross, good whip, good pace, little dink. Right, nestled in the corner. It was a beautiful goal.
The passing move as well, but in the build up, like the Coventry players had no idea what was going on. They were just existing.
You know, the whole first half, we dominated the first half. You know what I mean? It was clear to see, and I thought, you know what, we're comfortable at the minute.
Mm-hmm.
Now I don't know what happened at half time.
Yes.
this is what I will say about their goal. Their first goal was lucky, right? The way it took a deflection and it went into his path, that was luck. It had nothing to do with, although Coventry were sort of pushing forward, it had nothing to do with good gameplay. It was a fucking deflection off one of our players, can't remember what it was, and he was like, oh, cheers, mate, and that was it.
I think it was Hume. So Hume was on the edge of the box, and it goes to the other defender in the middle of the box with, was it Wright? Their player Wright, and he just half chances at low driven shot, and everybody's kind of like, oh shit, it's a half chance that he took. That was,
It was just, it was, like Alan said, it was just unlucky because 09 was in a good position. If the deflection hadn't have like almost moved out of his path and round to the right hand side of where he was. Because once that deflection goes past and the guy picks the ball up and goes, oh, I've got the ball, I'm in the box now, got time to turn and shoot now. I don't know whether I will blame the keeper on this one, but when we talk about the second goal, I feel like the keeper could have probably done a little bit more. But just unlucky for the deflection.
On the first one, yeah.
Is what it is.
Yeah.
The second goal, this is the first time I'm gonna have a go at Bree and whoever's advising him, because
you're taking the words out of me, Murphy. Yeah, you're taking the words out of me, Murphy, mate. Thank you.
That's
good.
We went five at the back, and I was like, because Brown went off. I remember that, and I remember Mundell. I think Mundell went
off. Brown and Mundell. They both went off at the same time, and they're both out until Christmas.
Right, I was like, right, okay. The only thing we can do here is push 09 into the middle of the park. And then after about 5 minutes after he made the subs, I can't remember who brought him, but he'd been Cully on. And I can't remember who else he brought on off Ballard. The top of my head. Ballard, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, Ballard.
So I was like, right, okay. 09's going to definitely push in the middle of the park here. And I was like, after about 5 minutes, I was like, he's going five at the back. And then I'll tell you how I knew, because the pressure we were fucking soaking up, like I could see on the other side of the picture, was like, there's three or four Coventry players got the ball and there's no pressure on them because there's no fucking midfield. You know what I mean? And then we just invited. That's the first time he sort of like danced to their tune, if you like. You know what I mean? Instead of playing how we should play.
Yeah.
And that pissed me off. That really pissed me off. Like, I know we're still top, aren't we?
We are still top. But
it's so tight now and it's fine margins. I just think, you know, I don't know what it is with the midfield. In fact, the midfield at the minute, it looks the weakest part of our gameplay. Like, you know, we're struggling a little bit. You know, the injury to fucking Brown, job suspension, fucking, you know, his reluctance to put 09 in the middle of the park. And plus, I think someone said Hume's out this week. Is that right?
I don't know. It's definitely... Definitely Brown and definitely Mundell.
I don't think he's injured. I think it was his fifth yellow card.
He's one game suspension. Yeah.
I'm sure that's what I remember someone saying. But I can only echo. Yeah, it's, what was it? 78 minutes when the subs came on. Go five at the back. That's 15 minutes. Plus, if you remember, there was a hell of a lot of injury time as well. 50, I think it was 9 minutes, wasn't it? So we're looking at 25 minutes of soaking up pressure to try and see out.
Why do that? Why don't you just play the game? Push one out. We've been playing.
So, yeah, my two cents on him is he, at half time, 2-0 up, playing great. It's all Sunderland first half. Let's face it, we had a quality first half. I think he thinks the job's done at that stage. That's the only mentality I can get it. No, because you've got to look. If we were to maintain that, why would we like sit back, invite pressure on, make changes that, like you said, make very little sense? We're going into a new system mid game when we know the current system of a 4-3-2-1 works. Tactically, Labrie got it completely wrong in this game, and I think we're all right with one or two games being like that. Like it's fine, you can make a couple of mistakes. It's just making it three draws in a row where some changes might have made a bit of a difference. I know we've already talked about it in the previous podcasts, but the Bellingham getting sent off in the QPR game, yeah, okay, that's 20 minutes where we're unlikely to score, down to 10 men, but the first 60 minutes of that game wasn't great. And then we come into the Preston game, and we just try and absorb the pressure away from home. Picking up a point away from home, fantastic if you look at it like that, but there wasn't any kind of like bite or drive. So when we come to the stadium light, we go to take the 2-0 lead. Why aren't we trying to get like a 3, 4, 5 just to make sure like the second half doesn't invite them on and give them confidence? If you give a team confidence and say, oh, look, you can come and tackle us in the first 5 minutes of the second half, they're going to do it for the rest of the half because you can see the mentality.
I don't know if he was ill-advised or what, because...
Maybe, but again,
the majority of the fans wouldn't have done that. So,
but there was
what he saw that, you know what I mean. Do they not believe in like 09 can play fucking centre mid?
There's a little bit of that, but he's also put, like you said, you've changed it to 5 at the back. But when we've got two players on the bench who are named midfielders who have been on the bench for weeks, you could have given Alex Hitch his debut. There could have been so many different changes tactically to keep the game and the formation the way it was and the way it was functioning correctly. I think he took a gamble. He took a gamble and it completely failed.
I don't know if he thought it was if the game was slipping away and he thought that he had to go as solid as he can at the back, but it was just the wrong decision. And just to touch on what you said before, Smithy, about half time and come out, I said, Andrew, like, 2-0 is good unless you concede the next goal, because then 2-1 gets a bit iffy, doesn't it? It's always important what the next goal when it's 2-0, because if it's 3-0,
yeah,
then it's game over. Do you know what I mean? If it's 2-1, you're always inviting that chance to pull it back to get that 80th minute equaliser, which is what happened. Basically, mid 80s equaliser. Just the second half was just not, like, from start to finish, was not good tactically. I don't know what they must have changed something at half time, Coventry, because they came out and tried new things, and we just sat and went, oh, this wasn't what we were expecting. We were expecting to just continue as it was, and nothing really changed. And we had a few chances, and we'll talk about like Connolly was through on goal, didn't shoot, tried to square it. I think there was another time where Connolly had an opportunity for, I think it was, we'll call it a half chance to give him the benefit. But again, he could have had a shot and he chose not to. I can't remember who it was. It was somebody else who was steaming through on goal before they equalised.
Isidore.
Yeah, there you go, Wilson. You know, and he had an opportunity, and you know, that didn't come off, and I know Andrew said he wasn't going to be here, but he was raging at the fact that we hadn't taken our chances to see it away.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, yeah, we had our opportunities. We didn't do it. So
that's it. So I'm going to hop on one more time a little bit about the tactical choices with our substitutions. They were forced changes. And I think that doesn't help either, because obviously we replaced Brown and Mundell, who were all right in that game. If you look at our match ratings, I know you've seen SofaScore early on, but those two were pretty much most of our highest rated players of the game. So both of them go down injured. So I think that's what it was, like 5 minutes before they scored, 5 minutes after they scored the first goal. They come to go on a second counter, and I think Mundell goes down, and then like 10 seconds later Brown goes down in another challenge, and both of them are just down on the floor while Coventry are on the attack still. So, and you can see both of them are like proper injured. Brown comes off immediately, and they try to get Mundell to run around for another 5 minutes, but it doesn't work. So it's kind of like
his hamstring was done, mate. Like as soon as he pulls up, you just go nah, off. Like there's no way you can't run a hamstring off. There's no way.
Yeah. So as soon as it went, I knew he was going off. I think everyone knew that. Like.
Yeah. So it's just like those were forced changes, but the forced changes weren't like for like. They were like for that shift. And they said it's a gamble. It didn't really work out. But For me, it's more of a question around why is he naming players on the bench who he's not willing to put on the pitch, especially in that moment. We're in a leading position as well. Like, again, what's worse that happened would they get back level, which is what they did. So I don't know, I think he needs to take a little bit more faith in some of the players he hasn't put on the pitch yet.
Yeah, I can get on board with that, but I just think that he thought that we had it in us to grind it out for 15 minutes. But it was the wrong decision. It was moving to five at the back was just not right. I know it was forced. I can hear what you're saying, and I'm totally on board with, you know, putting the midfielders on so it's like for like, you know, square pegs and square holes, not you know, the other way around. What's it called, round pegs and square holes, or whatever the phrase is.
Yeah,
but yeah, hey, I don't know. I think we just threw it away. We didn't react well, and like Alan said, like we changed based on what they were doing rather than what we should have been doing. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you're 2-1, for me, you have to extend the lead. You try and extend the lead, not grind it out for you know, the majority of the fucking half. Like, I just don't feel like that was the right choice. And it wasn't, you know, and we lost 2 points because of it.
I will just quickly show the league table whilst we're here, because we've got to remember we are speaking from a position of envy for a lot of other teams, and it is a gripe that we're in the back of three draws, but we're rightly at the top of the table based on what he's done across the other games. So you've got to, like, again, it's maybe just maybe it's just one of those bad.
Let him off. Let him off and say, oh, got it wrong.
Yeah, I think as long as we don't perform like we did before the international break again against Millwall. Yeah, I'm not saying Millwall is going to be a pushover, because look, like, again, I'm showing the league table. They're eighth at the minute for a reason. They're a solid team. They're physically strong. But you just got to...
I think it's going to be a struggle. I think the game's going to be a struggle. I think...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what I'd... Look, if Hume's out, right, 4-9's going to go right back. The good thing that Ballard made an appearance, hopefully him and Methan, That for me is a solid fucking pairing of centre halves, so that's a bonus. Is Pato back? Is anyone about Pato? No, I'm not saying he was doing a bad job, like, but you know what I mean. Is there any inclination that he's going to make an appearance?
I've not heard anything. I'll have a quick look.
I thought he was out for a little while, to be honest, but I don't know what he was out with. It wasn't announced.
A bit mysterious. Yeah, nothing was really said about that. I don't really know what's going on there.
5 hours ago, Reggie Libri issues exciting update on Anthony Patterson's situation ahead of Millwall.
Nice.
Right? And okay. The exciting update was this. I'll tell you when it loads. okay. Reggie has revealed that Anthony Patterson is available for selection for the trip to Millwall on Saturday.
Okay. Then... That's good news. I mean, would you go back to Pato?
Yeah.
I think we all kind of agree on that as well, because we said it in the watch along that the testing of Moore in the couple of games. Yes, he's kept clean sheets, which is exactly what he won from goalkeeper, but he wasn't really tested that much. He did one of those saves for the cameras, but. I mean, Pato's made mistakes.
We've conceded their second goal, by the way. I think Pato's in goal. He saves. He reacts quicker, and he saves the second goal. I know the second goal came from. I say I know they had a lot of possession, like, but it came from almost nothing. It was just came in. The guy ran in. It was unmarked. But saying that, I think Pato saves it. I think he gets down. It was past Mill before he could even do anything about it.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah,
I think we do go by
power. Yeah, we start on midfield then. So obviously we know we're missing Job. Riggs back in the frame. Neil's back in the frame. So is it time for Alisic to make an appearance?
Yes, mate. Yeah, I don't see why not. Like he's been on the bench for 10 games now, if not more. He's been max ready.
Has anyone seen him, though? Like, has anyone seen him pre-season? Has anyone seen him in the 21s? Has anyone seen him like where he used to play?
The only times I've seen him is at the like when they do the training ones at the Academy of Light. It's literally just running around in circles and taking some pop shots at in bibs. It's not actually at games or anything like that. It's just proper training. So
I don't think I've seen him either, to be honest.
He's on the bench, surely we must give him a fucking, you know, let's put him on. If he's a midfield player, let's give the lad a chance. You know what I mean? Let's not try and, like, I'm not saying fucking, well, I'll come on to Connolly in a minute, but Connolly sort of like I said a few weeks ago, he's jumped ahead of people and not doing enough. And when he came on, in fact, he did come on against Conley, didn't he?
Yep.
He did.
Yeah. So when Wilson's down the centre, his press is, he's athletic, he's quick and strong. His press is quite, I won't say intimidating, but it puts pressure on whoever's got the ball to get rid of it. Conley doesn't do that. Conley was on the pitch, and I didn't see him press once. It was like half-hearted. Do you know what I mean? Even if you press the fucking whoever's got the ball, you're stopping them setting up how they want to play. So see, if they receive the ball, they're going to go into a pattern of play and try and play through the lines or spread the play. If you press him, he might not do that, and the system breaks down. Wilson's good at that. Connolly, for me, doesn't do enough. Like, he's had a few goals now, and he's shown decent, you know, touches and that, and he's in it, and he's quite cute with the ball sometimes, but for a forward, mate, it's not enough.
Yeah,
and I just think, you know, he needs to offer more. We need more out of him if we're going to keep on with this momentum.
100% agree, mate. And it's going to sound like I'm beating a dead horse on this standpoint now, but Connolly is a second striker along with Roushan. Both of those would only play well with another striker, with them to support. They're not a lone striker. Connolly needs Isidore there, or Meyenda, or whoever we put in, with some big, tall, physical holder up of the ball, and they can break through the lines. That's what their job is. But if they're only ever breaking through the lines, they're constantly coming up against two or three slide tackles, and I don't think he's got it in him to do the messy style dribbling into the box. Like, yeah. Don't get me wrong, he can strike the ball. Anybody can strike the ball, but he's not currently switched on to the pressure and the tempo of some of the opposition he's coming up against.
I don't want to see Wilson out wide against Millwall, because Murnell's not on the pitch, obviously. He's injured.
I think we will, Alan. I think he'll start.
I don't want to see that. I don't want to see that. I want to see him through the fucking middle.
I think we'll see Meander up top, and I think we'll see Wilson on the wing, to be honest.
Well, why not just fucking put Watson on the wing? You've got Watson and Roberts to put Isidore up top. Like, if you've got, you can't keep, like I said, you're using the same players and we're doing well, but you've got to, the options you've got, you've got to, you know, give them some game time, because why you put them on the fucking bench in the first place? If you're not confident enough to put that bloke on the pitch, why is he taking a spot on the bench? Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
You know, that's why Alisic and Tommy Watson, that their natural positions are winger and midfielder. They should be on the pitch. I don't want to see Wilson out wide. You know what I mean? I don't want to see Connolly starting. So, you know, let's see what they do this weekend. We need to go and well with the strongest team. I get it, like, but if you put players out of position, your team's not going to be the strongest. You know what I mean? Trust in your fucking players. And if they're not good enough, go out and get someone in January. Now, I know I've heard a fucking lot of rumours about Henderson coming back, if you see it on the other two YouTube channels.
Yeah.
For me, that would be a great acquisition for the middle of the park. One, he's fucking, I know he's at the end of his career, but he's amassed so much knowledge playing at Liverpool at a higher level. And he's Liverpool's captain.
He was England captain for a while as well.
So he's got the credentials to
lead,
to get us over the line. That's what we need, to get over the line. Like, I don't want another season of, oh, you know what, it was a good season, but we were nearly there, but maybe it wasn't our year. I don't want to fucking hear that. Like, I hear it every, I mean, you know what I mean? I've been a Sunderland fan that long. I just get bored of it. So we're in a position now where we should be going for the throat. We should be fucking saying, right, if we get this player in the summer, it doesn't have to be Henderson, sorry, in the winter, it doesn't have to be Henderson. Anyone to get us over the fucking line, go out and get them. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm just trying to equate it. The season feels like, I don't know if it's like this for yourself, but it doesn't feel like we're top of the league. There's some kind of negativity still like lingering there, and I don't get it.
Just because we're eternal pessimists, on the fan. We'll have a good game, and we're like, we're going, you know, I could have been better. Who we got next week? You know, it's tight. But we never like sort of get carried away with it unless we actually do something. Like, oh, we've been promoted.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
I think I will be comfortable like at top spot when we have like 10 points clear of the playoff, of like third place. Other than then, I'm still nervous week to week because the games come thick and fast. Anything I say this week could be done in 7 days' time when we've played three games.
You've got to lose back to back games, haven't you? You've got to lose back to back games, and then, you know. And then that's it. Look at the table. You know, you were showing it earlier on, but like ourselves and Sheffield United, 31 points, Leeds 29, Burnley 27. We lose two in a row. Burnley leads, Sheffield win. You know,
we're back down in the fucking playoffs, and then
it's like, yeah, exactly. Then win the playoffs positions, and then we might start getting, you know, getting antsy. We draw a couple or win one, and we're around about there, and then we're by the end of it, you know, after Christmas is going, actually we're probably going to end up with the playoffs, you know, rather than the top two, which is, we've got a very strong team. Like, and I know outside of Sunderland, people will be going like, oh, your team's really good, you've got Job, you've got, you know, you've got Mepham, you've got Mundo, you've got all these guys, you know, you've got a strong team, but it's just the Sunderland way to have a strong team but knock it out of the line, I think.
Yeah, and
it can always be stronger. You know what I mean? It's like, we just need to like get. I mean, I know they've got a plan. Obviously, they've got plans. We're doing well, but I don't want them to like relax on it and say, "Oh, well, we tried." They said,
"Yeah."
Offer Henderson, just say, "Look, you can play at the end of the season. We'll put you through your coaching badges."
Yeah, you know what I mean, that's it.
Give him a fucking, you know, give him an incentive to come to Sunderland, because that's probably what he wants to do. He wants to go into coaching.
I think he needs to. I think he needs to.
So let's facilitate that, but let him come to the club, because other players will learn from him. 09 will learn from him. You know what I mean? Dan Neil will learn from him. It'll be a good acquisition, and I just think it'll be a missed opportunity. He's just fucking languishing in a shit Dutch league, doing what?
I mean, he was in the Saudi league the year before, like, but yeah.
Obviously getting paid well, but, you know, Ajax challenging for the title? Are they fucking? Is he playing? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What's his situation? I don't know. But if he's available, I'd fucking go and get him.
I think Henderson's a good shout for that more longer term leadership side of it, rather than game to game. Because when we've got everybody fit who's currently in the squad, I don't think he breaks through. I think we've got Rigg, Bellingham, Neil, who are the top three favourites in that centre of the park. If one of them's injured or suspended like they are now, he's the perfect replacement. Aleksić is not getting chosen for a reason. We spent a couple of million on him. He's not getting chosen. Whatever that reason is, it'll not be broadcast because it's just going to compile on more doubt, I guess. But Henderson coming in makes sense. And on that, in the striker position, Dale brings out a good point. Meander scored, but we haven't seen him ever since. Like, why have we not seen... Why have you not seen me yet? He scored a goal. You should be rewarding the players who have been doing their job effectively,
right? He scored a brace, didn't he? But Isidore came in, and then now he's scoring. So he's playing the same position as Isidore. So who would you rather on the pitch, Isidore or Meander? Does Meander play out wide?
Well, the question, yeah, if Isidore plays out wide, then Miena can come in, or Connolly, or I think again, I keep on beating the bush, but Millwall play a 4-4-2. The classic way to beat a 4-4-2 is another 4-4-2, but 4-2-3-1 works for Sunderland, so we need to use the wing play a lot, and if we're using somebody out of position in the wing play, we're going to massively struggle for attacking options in that game. The only way we can beat Millwall is on the counter. If we're setting up as we have for the previous games, some work needed to be done to get past Millwall.
We can play through the lines as well. I think we look better playing through the lines when Job's on the pitch.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But it's, I don't know. Let's see what he does. He'll have a plan. I think he's probably thinking about the mistake he made at Coventry against the Coventry, and he's like, right, I don't want to do that again. All right, so...
Yeah.
Maybe it's a fucking flip. You know what I mean? He's done well so far with top of the league. We can't really see anything. You know what I mean? We're just being pedantic because we threw away 2-0 lead and it feels like we got beat. Look, let's just see what he puts out against Millwall. But all I'm saying is to the club is let's fucking get over the line this year. Let's, you know what I mean? Don't let us off. We're in a good position. Don't let it slip away.
Aye. Agree. Mm. Should we talk about Millwall then? Do you want some Millwall stuff?
Yes, please, mate. Yeah, let's go for it. I'm just looking at the Millwall record, like us, Sunderland versus Millwall.
We've won 4 of the last 5, right? But here are the scores, right? They drew the last game with Stoke 1-1. Okay, so here are the 4 games that they won. 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0.
Ali. So, Arsenal then, pretty much.
The game before that, they drew 1-1. The game before that, they drew 0-0. The game before that, they lost 1-0. We're talking about a team, it's a one-goal swing or a draw in the past 10 games.
Sounds solid defensively then.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at their squad now, their highest-rated players... Defender.
They're
all three rated players are all defenders. And then the one after that is our mate, Duncan Watmore.
Roadrunner.
Yeah.
And do you know what, though? I like Watmore. You know what I mean?
Yeah. One more, two more, Watmore. He just kept running.
I like to see excellent players do well, unless the mags, obviously, but. Fair play to him.
Yeah.
As long as he doesn't score against us at the weekend.
Again. He did last time, didn't he? Yeah.
Did he?
Yeah,
he scored against us last year.
So maybe he's got that over and done with. He can chart it off. Scored against my forward club. Fuck off. Like you said, it's a one-goal swing. Do you want to do predictions and then work it out from there? Because it's kind of, like you said... It's a tough one with Millwall because it's at the Den. We're on the back of 3 draws. I'm just going to say it. It's a 0-0 or a 1-0, a 1-1 draw.
Oh, fuck, not another draw.
It's going to be like I'm just. That's I mean, where I'm at mentally.
I say that like when I take it. You know what I mean? I'll be like, at least it's not a defeat.
Yeah. But it also makes us undefeated in like 7 games, doesn't it? Last game we lost was...
Luton.
No, we beat Luton, didn't we?
Beat them 2-1.
Last game we lost was Watford.
Watford.
We
got beat off Watford 2-1, that's it. I'm thinking 2-1, but yeah. I Watford.
So that's
we are. No. I know we're away, like, but we are unbeaten at home. I forgot to say that at the top. Like, we still haven't lost at home. And those 2 goals that Coventry, scored against us were only the 3rd and 4th goal that we've conceded at the stadium. Like, that's just facts that I forgot to throw out there earlier on. Like, but
I tell you what I want to see. I want us to set up, right? So obviously, Methan. Fucking Ballard, Sirkin, 09 will definitely go right back if Hume's out. Pat Wingo, Neil, Rig, Alisic, Isidore through the up top, Pat here wide, right, and fucking Watson on the left. That's how I think we should play. You know what I mean? Because, yeah, Watson and Alisic are not starters, but let's play how we have set up for the majority of the season and take it from there. I'm sure he's probably got a fucking plan. And, you know,
probably.
I just think that's how I see it. But he might see something different, you know what I mean? He is Dr. Labrie, so he might have a different solution.
I mean, I can see a setting up very similar to like how you're saying that, mate. But I'm not sure about Watson getting the start though.
Why?
Because he started the other week and didn't do anything. He didn't fuck up at all as well though. So there was that, but he didn't provide the outlet that Roberts usually does. So I still see Roberts out on the right.
Nervous.
Oh no, I get that.
When Rig came on, you were like, right, he's a bit young. You know what I mean? Now he's like, fucking hell, get Rig on the pitch. Let's fucking, you know, the lad. I want to just feel like it's the natural option in that area. Unless there's any other wingers on the fucking bench we've got.
I mean, Watson and Johnson. Watson, Johnson. Johnson's had another look in. I don't know. I think there needs to be a change from what we've been going.
I tell you what, I tell you what, it'd be better starting them away from home, I think, because you know what it's like playing for your hometown club in a big crowd. You want to do well, and there's added pressure there. I think Millwall would be better for them to start there. I mean, a lot of the den, like, but like, I just think there's not as much pressure on a young player. You know, when you're playing at home for your hometown club, I can't imagine what that pressure's like. I don't know how Rick does it. You know what I mean? He must have really good, strong mental resilience to get through that. Like, I know he's adept at doing it, but like, that's what I mean. We're watching. Let's breed him in. You know what I mean? We did it with Pato as well. At the start of his career, he's getting a bit now, right? He's not getting on, but he's older.
He's 23. Fucking hell.
I know what I mean. But when he started, it was the same thing. It was like,
he looks
on the pitch. Trust.
I mean, they've all got to start. They've all got to start somewhere. I get that, but I don't know if it's throw the kids in time yet. I know we've got to force the changes because of suspensions and injuries.
You sound like
but...
fucking Alan Hansen. You can't do anything with kids.
I mean, we didn't do anything with kids last season. We finished 16th.
But that was the Beale factor.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I don't think you can blame the team for last year.
Yeah,
fucking hell. Practically the fucking same team was sitting pretty at third. Had a chance to get into the fucking in the top two. Fucked it and just dropped like a stone. Same fucking team. Nah, that was Alan's right there, man.
I know.
Mr. Beale.
I know, but it's
Mr. fucking Beale.
I'm just saying, like, you can't just chuck people in because there's a gap there. You need to think about it a little bit more logically.
But why not?
If he's on the bench, that's my argument. Your bench, you should look at that bench again. Yep, he can fill that slot, get in.
And that's what I'm thinking. I want to see Alexic the most. If he doesn't start Alexic, something's wrong with him. Something categorically is wrong with Alexic, and he shouldn't be on the bench at all. He's not trusting him. What's the point? But he said it's a bench warmer position. It's like before Moore came in, you knew Patterson was getting every minute put in front of him, unless there was an injury problem. We don't need names on a bench. We need players on a pitch. that's what my point is. If you want to throw Watson on and he's ready for it, absolutely go for it. But it's just, I don't know if Watson over Roberts makes sense to me.
They both should be on the pitch.
But they're both on the right-hand wing.
Well, Roberts, you can still. If Patty's fucking cutting in on the left, he's left cutting on the left, and he plays on the right.
Yes, yeah, yeah. But you no, he always plays down the right, and then yeah, he's left-footed.
Yeah. So
he's
what's left-footed. Watching? What's watching? Right-footed.
Paddy's left-footed. What's who? Who's what?
Watson's right-footed.
Tommy Watson. Yeah. You're gonna Google it.
I'm sure he's right.
Sure
he's right-footed.
All right. So can we get the odds, please, as well? Ivan Toney's.
Yeah. Of course.
Okay, so my prediction was I'm gonna stick with a 1-1 draw.
1-1.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Who's scoring?
For Sunderland, I'm gonna say Bilko 9 from a corner.
Onion. All right. Okay.
All right. Who's next, me?
I'm just
I'll you go for your prediction, Al. We can get the second text coming through.
I'm gonna go with 1-0, sneaky 1-0, Sunderland. Because I don't want to see another draw. And I don't want to defeat. And I'm gonna see it, Tommy Watson. Absolute.
Me, I'm not sure he starts. that's funny. Can you do a super sub on that?
Your onion 1-0, 1-1, sorry, is just coming through now.
Onion
is an incredible 58-1.
Yeah, that's not happening then.
Worth a dabble.
That's not worth a dabble.
It's worth a dabble.
Not on onion.
He's a goal scorer, Smithy.
He's a poacher.
Puts the fucking ball in the back of the net.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like and subscribe. Listeners, like and subscribe. You haven't said that, have you?
No.
The 2.3K now.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah. That's because you're advertising.
Because I'm saying like and subscribe during the watch along, which is nice. Yes,
exactly.
Right, subscribe.
let's get you up to 3.
Yeah,
just keep ticking over. Right. Well, what we say 1-0.
Let's keep it real, though. You know what I mean?
2.5 by Feb. That would be nice.
There's quite a lot of fuckers on the fucking podcast now, or whatever.
Oh no, they're all popping up, aren't they?
There's fucking loads of them.
There you go.
It could be. It's good for the club, I guess. You know what I mean?
They're popping up because we're on the upward trajectory. And we're like, oh, can I have my? But where were you when we were in the dumps? Where were you when we were in the dumps? You know what I mean? Like, come on. Anyways,
you can
see
that later on.
I was here when we were in League One. What are you doing?
47-1, Alan, for 1-0, Tommy Watson.
That's not that different from Lugo 9.
Sure it was that. Well, he's a forward, isn't he?
Yeah. Right. Dale has asked in the chat as well for Wilson and Grigg, 2-1.
Grigg.
Yeah. He actually put Greg. His actual comment is Wilson Greg 21. So Wilson Isidore, Chris Rigg.
I'm asking Will Greggs. Right now. So 2-1, and we've got Wilson anytime and
Rigg.
Will Grigg. Chris Grigg. That is coming out at 86.5-1.
It's worth a punt. I'm sticking with Tommy Watson. I want to see the lad do well. And you know what I mean? I don't want another draw, and I don't want a defeat. So
I think it'll be
a tough game. It's going to be tough.
I think it'll be close. I want to say Sunderland 1-0, but it could also be Millwall 1-0.
Do you know what I want?
I don't know. I just don't know which way to go.
I want a performance like we did against Sheffield Wednesday. Just pure control from minute one to minute 90. Do not step off the gas.
That was at the start of the season. Everyone sort of knows. Everyone's done their homework now.
Yeah, but they've done the homework. However, like we said, we've got forced changes, so we're not anything that they can predict. Hopefully,
Millwall are odds on to win as well. By the way, 7-5 compared to our 2-1. So,
who's there? I know what more player for them, but who's their fucking danger man?
Oh, they've got like five. Let me find. I did have it up here. 2 seconds.
I was looking at the Millwall team as well. I couldn't think when looking at the squad. I'm looking and I'm thinking, I mean, I don't think there's anybody. You know, you got Duncan Watmore,
so
Ivanovic, Langstaff, Bradshaw, Amaku,
SA,
Coburn, those are the strikers.
SA is really good.
George and Andrew's favourite ex Sunderland captain, George Honeyman, in the midfield.
Really, the ones that are starting that are a threat to us are Saville, Langstaff, and Essay. That's they're
Saville's a threat to everyone.
Yeah, George Saville. not his distant relative, Jim. Yeah. Jim Bob.
Jimmy.
Right, I mean, yeah. I'll be happy with a sneaky win, but, you know, it's going to be tough.
I want us to just, like I said, go gung-ho. Why not? We've got two very difficult games coming up after it as well, as with West Brom and Sheffield United, so...
Yeah, I think that we probably have to win against Millwall because I can't see us beating both West Brom and Sheffield United. We've got home for West Brom, so that's probably going to our favour, isn't it? But that away game to Sheffield... I mean, we could still be 1-2 then, couldn't we? Really, if you think about it, we could still be. That's going to be a tough one. I feel.
Do you want my ticket for West Brom? Because I can't go.
I love it.
I'm away for 2 weeks.
Do you know what date it's on?
It's a Tuesday. I think it's midweek.
What, next week?
Midweek.
26th, isn't it? 27th.
Is it midweek? I can't remember. I'm sure it's midweek.
Yeah. I don't think that we've got anything on. There's no in the calendar. So if you want to, can you do the funny thing when you send it out via?
I'll
so it's 8 o'clock kickoff on the 26th.
Yeah, next Tuesday, isn't it?
Yeah, Tuesday night kickoff. Yeah.
I'll be watching it away, but I'll be able to watch the stream, so I'll tune in some
more. Perfect, mate. Perfect. Well, I forgot about that actually, because between now and the next podcast, this time next week, because I'm going to be doing them Thursday nights until the end of the year, because I'm off on Friday mornings.
We work,
yeah. So I'm off on Friday mornings for the rest of the year. So I thought, why not just boom? There's a nice clean time for the podcasts. We're playing West Brom on the Tuesday night. Do you have any ideas about West Brom? Because we've talked a lot about Millwall, but nothing about the Baggies.
Draw specialists, them, aren't
they? Right now, yeah, they're on four.
Like a draw, then.
They've had, before their last game, where they who did they beat? Who did they beat last game?
Hull.
Hull. They won the back of 4 or 5 draws in a row, weren't they? Before that.
Yeah.
They were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 draws in a row, mate, before that. Mm. I don't know if they were all in the league or whether someone were in the cup.
So what are you saying? It's going to be a draw.
Oh, no, Callum Styles plays for West Brom.
Oh,
I want to give him a round of applause when he comes back. Like, what a guy. He is a legend, him. I like singing his song.
Why don't you call him Harry Styles every time? Call him Harry Styles every time.
Harry Styles. Oh, Darren Styles.
Darren Styles. Oh, yeah, that's it.
Fun is on the spot here about West Brom, though. I didn't really... I haven't really heard a bit of anything about West Brom. Like, I'm going to say we're at home, so we've got a good chance, but I don't know. Let's see.
I'll reassess after the fucking Millwall game.
Okay.
Plus, we'll have players back. Is Joe back for that game? Has he still got? Is that another band?
Preston, and then the Coventry. Yeah, so he had Preston and the QPR, the Coventry game where he's already been suspended. So this one is third. So yeah,
before QPR.
That was QPR then Preston. So he's off.
So he's already missed two. Preston and Coventry.
He's
going to miss Millwall.
He'll be back
for West Brom.
Right. Okay.
Hume will be back.
I don't think anybody else is injured except for the...
Well, to be honest, that's good, though. Like, it's just, let's... This next game's probably going to be the trickiest. Obviously, back after the international break. He's got fucking manager of the month again. I fucking hate it when he gets that.
But he's already He's already played a game. His game was the Coventry game. Or was it the Preston game?
Well, the international break.
I
don't know. I'll reassess after Millwall.
Yeah. Cool. Good. Okay. I'm going to say someone might win that West Brom game.
I guess good positivity, mate.
I don't know. It's the vibes you get. I'm not sure about the Millwall, but the West Brom I am quite happy about. But again, there's 90 minutes of football and people get injured in between. So yeah, we'll see. There you go.
I'm leaning on our unbeaten status at home. So in a drive for us to have a good game against West Brom. Yeah, you remember we thought that we would get fucking turned over by Burnley. We did well. Thought we would get turned over by Leeds. We did well. You know.
Did we do well against Leeds or did we get lucky?
Look.
A bit of both.
We got something out of the game. Yeah, that's enough. As long as we get something out of these next three games, right. I'm gonna say last question because obviously it's getting on a bit. But out of these two games coming up, what's obviously the dream is 6 points, but what is acceptable out of that? Is two draws okay? Is a win and a loss okay? Like what's your vibe?
You can't. I mean, if we have two draws, we have two draws. I'll be like I said, the Millwall game, the draw, I'll be like, West Brom will probably be slightly a bit more upset because we're at home and I think we should try to win every one game.
We should be trying to win every game, but yeah.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Yeah. But what's
a draw away from home is always more acceptable than a draw at home.
Okay, so are you saying 4 points then is what would be?
Four. I'd be like, yeah, okay.
We did decent, okay?
Yeah.
Which means we're getting...
I think I'm on the same vibe. I'd be happy with four. I think if we won one and lost one, I'd be...
More. Would you be happy or more pissed off? More pissed off than two draws?
No, a win's a win, though, you know what I mean? So a win and a loss, but...
I'd like to take a win, yeah.
But winning a draw is probably what I want. You know what I mean?
Okay. All right. So I'm
going to... If you look at it, though, it is two... We're not saying that. I mean, every game is a winnable game, you know. But I could see it a route of us beating Millwall, and I can see a route of us beating West Brom. So fuck it. Like, I think, we'll, you know, 6 points. Let's go. I'll be happy with that.
There you go. Perfect. Great chat. 6 points needed, says Dale. I think that's it then. We're doing the watch along on this channel, obviously, naturally, as we always do. What time is it? It's a 3 o'clock kickoff in the UK, isn't it? Or is it the late kickoff?
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, I'm sure it's 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
So I'll see you on the 3 o'clock kickoff for that in 2 days' time.
Yeah.
Or a day and a half
time. Is there not a fucking Sunderland supporters club over there?
Probably, but you got an email, and I don't want an email. It's just a weird archaic thing. There's a page on the website, on the Sunderland website, for getting in touch with fan groups around the world. It's quite interesting.
You should be doing that while you're there.
mm. Yeah, but then I can't do the watch alongs because all they'll do is meet up for the game. So.
Yeah, but you could do Discord.
Do you know what time the games are here? Do you know how antisocial the game times are? It's like 2 o'clock in the morning.
I'm at someone's house for like tea and biscuits and that. Just set up.
2 o'clock in the morning, lad. I think you should get
to find out people energy. Hey, look, I do a podcast or. Do you want to kind of do a watch along in your house?
There you go. I've never met you before, but can I bring my laptop, my camera, my microphone, record everything you're doing? Yeah. Yeah. Why not? I'll reach out to them because there's more Macams here. There's actually a lot more Macams than Jordy's here.
I'm fucking right, there should be.
Got taste then.
Yeah, they've got decorum. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that the Saudi thing kind of put them off a little bit of the mags, but you never know. Anyways, there's a London supporter group as well. Yeah, the London supporter group is massive. There's like a couple of hundred people in that. I know that because of
Fenners. Fenners
is in London.
Fenwick.
Fendog told us about it.
He needs to come on here. He's very articulate. I'd like to get Fenners on. Do you know what I mean? For a chat. He's a right bottle job, though.
Fenners, get your company. I'm not going to shout them out until you're on here to sponsor the podcast. Just a nice international free flights for anybody who comes on the podcast.
Can you imagine you got on that specific, like... flight brand and there was just like your picture of your fucking face on the back of the fucking seat or something like that.
Even if he asked Jeeves, he brought that to come on the podcast for him.
Ask Jeeves.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
What year is it?
Some select notes from Fenners that he's going to ask.
1997.
Do you know about Fenners' butler? Really?
No.
Yeah, he's got a butler, mate.
He's got a butler.
Yeah, man. Round the house, mate.
He was down fucking London the other day with the farmers protesting, mate. That's how much land he's got.
So am I friends with Tories?
Wait, yes, you are.
Multiple Tories. Oh, that's funny.
I'm afraid so.
That's funny.
Let's not bring politics into this lovely...
that's even more interesting.
If you start mentioning politics to Andrew, fuck, your hands on right now, for Christ.
Get the red flag out, mate. Start calling people comrades.
Keep them flagging out.
On the comrade.
Alrighty.
I tell you what, there was actually... Starmer versus Farmer was good, like in the old... in the papers, that was funny.
That's fucking hilarious. Right. Anyways, right. Okay. Enjoy your nights. Catch you on the watch along if you're there, and see you on the potty next week.
Right, man.
All right, lad.
Yeah,
boys.